Welcome to Sri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Sri and Kira.
Oh, namaste, beloved angels. Bring your hand to your heart. Let that smile come forward because you're listening to the voice of passionate action. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Sri Ramka, and we're delighted to be with you right now.
Today, because this is such a special show. You know, we have actually all week long, we've been really, really spending a lot of energy and time around this show because, hey, you know, what happens when the universe knocks on you and says, hello? And what happens when you have that profound, deep, beautiful spiritual experience, the one that transforms you forever, the one that sets you on the journey, the one that keeps you going, the one that reminds you, that moment where you know that everything you've ever thought is truly happening.
Oh, wow. Now that's the good one.
Yes, it is.
Because oftentimes we're having experiences that some folks may say are psychic instability or that we don't know how to integrate.
I just don't hang out with those folks.
And so along the way, as we open, sometimes we are uncertain. How do we integrate this? What do we do? It felt so good, and yet now I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, how many times have people had peak spiritual experiences and then quite frankly, afterwards have a lot of chaos in their lives or start having a challenge in moving forward or integrating? You know, this is a very important subject because as the world, you know, look what's happening in our world, my angels. And again, I can't stress enough, if you have not tuned in with the article we released earlier this month, or even the November predictions and the December, we're going to be right out there. We're going to be getting those out in the next couple days. Please tune in, go to official Sri and Kira at YouTube and connect with all of this information because we are at a moment right now where everything is a peak spiritual experience, and the peak is peaking.
Indeed. When one reaches a certain level of attainment, indeed, everything is a spiritual experience. However, as we're walking our path, and remember, walking your path is a lifetime project.
No kidding.
Golly, you know, so often we, when we're seeking and looking and reading and wanting to have more, let's just say, more inspiration, more certainty, more divine connection, we stumble along with certain false prophets. We may have inspirations that feel really good or right for a while, and then something happens and we would just move away.
Yeah.
This is part of the meandering that builds our discernment. So consider for a moment that discernment is a quality that we cultivate through experience and through memory. Mm. And when I say memory, I'm talking about soul's memory. I'm talking about that capacity for you to go, oh, now I get it. Oh, there's my aha. That's the soul's memory going, this was true.
You know, that's a powerful thought. You know, I'm sitting here listening to Sri and I'm connecting with all of you. I'm feeling you because one of the things that's important to remember and to always hold dear to our heart is that whenever a peak spiritual experience happens, it in no way negates our, let's just use the word, everyday spiritual experience. Remember that as we are on the ever-refining spiral of our spiritual awakened presence, every moment is rich with an opportunity to be. Every moment is a rich to see the eyes of the divine in every being or in every action or in every moment. What we're really wanting to share more about today is what happens when you have those moments that take your breath away, I guess is the way to say it, or catch you in a way that you know your life has changed forever. And you know, globally, this just happened in November. In November, the planet has changed forever. It was a peak jettison moment as we are in that 2015 to 2022 ascension escalator. We've had a peak jettison moment. So everyone is integrating right now. Everyone is integrating this, what's happened in November. And how they're integrating it is the level of spiritual attainment or the level of spiritual discernment that is awake in their lives. So this is a very powerful, expanded moment.
And so, beloved ones, maybe the thing to do is to create a little bit of a context for what do we mean by a spiritual experience? What do we mean by a profound awakening? Because I'm sure we all respond to those words and have your own ideas. However, consider for a moment that there is ordinary consciousness. And what I'm talking about there is like the conventional consciousness.
Thank you for that clarity.
The ordinary consciousness is the mass consciousness. This is what we would refer to as density. It's the Christmas shopping, Madison Avenue. All of the cultural norms are part of that consciousness.
Yeah.
And certainly we all embrace those in different ways as we evolve. But the thing I want to offer is when there's a baseline, meaning density consciousness, and as we begin to lift into ascension awareness, as we begin to lift into an awakened state, there are periodic milestones, things that happen. And those things that happen sometimes can feel miraculous because they're a break from the ordinary. Other times they just feel sublime, meaning, oh yeah, I accept this as part of who I am. And it's not that it's miraculous, meaning life-changing. It's more like it's reassuring, that it reminds me of the depth of my soul's presence. And so as we chat about this, and we have some callers that are calling in, and we're going to talk with them as well, the thing I want to ask you is, what makes it a spiritual experience? What makes it a miracle? And that's really the starting point, because when we all of a sudden go, something special happened, now we're awake to something else.
Well, you know, that's so true, Sri. And one of the things we want to dovetail into all of this today is, on a very personal level, we have been on our spiritual awakening. I'm sure all of you know our story, so we certainly don't need to take airtime talking about our story. And if you don't know our story, read our book, Sacred Union, The Journey Home. However, it's not that you have one experience and that's it. For some people, you might have one experience that opens the gateway forevermore. You might have a practice or something that you do. However, the more that we, and I love how Archangel Zadkiel always says this, the more that we keep our eyes on the divine at all times, the greater we go into the depth of the awakening in our lives. So as we awaken, as we move forward, what happens is that we are sending a clear signal to the universe that says, yes, 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 I am ready. Yes, I am open. Yes, please, please share more. And the more that we remain dedicated to the journey, the more that we remain open to the experience, the more that we keep our eyes on the divine, there's an ever-refining spiral of richer experiences. And, you know, for Sri and I, we've been very, very blessed over the past 13 years to be on that ever-refining spiral together. And every time we think that we've had a peak experience, literally another one shows up. And in many ways, we feel that virtually all of this came forward in India recently, and we teased you a little bit about this in today's show description, that we were so blessed to be with 22 amazing people on this journey in India that culminated on the teeny tiny little island of Bet Dwarka, which is off of Dwarka, which is in the northwestern area of India, actually up near the Pakistani border. And very, very powerful. This is the city where Krishna, the actual Krishna, did live over 5,000 years ago. They've recently found archaeological documentation of that in the waters there. We actually were in a boat and went out over that area, heading over toward Bet Dwarka. We were in the presence of a documented 2,870-year-old Krishna. And Sri and I had, bar none, I would say, probably one of, if not the single most profound experience yet. And this does not negate any of the other amazing blessings that have happened. It's just another expansion. It's like that comet ride that the planet is on right now. We are jet fuel, my loves, you know, and right now your spiritual experience and how you integrate it, how you live it, how you invite yourself to carry yourself forward in your life is indeed the jet fuel for the journey we are all on right now and a way to navigate what's happening on the planet.
Yes, true. And so one of the things I want to offer is I talked a little earlier about density consciousness, mass consciousness, and even as one lifts, there is still what I'm going to refer to as ordinary consciousness.
Yeah.
That ordinary consciousness is the quality of your personality. It's the ego. It's the part of you that's adapted to your culture, your upbringing, your language, everything. And you've learned how to interact with the world through the lens of your culture, your upbringing, your thoughts, your beliefs. So there's no nothing positive or negative here. It's just the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
We have a personality. We have a paradigm for operating in the world. And that's what I'm referring to as your normal consciousness. As we evolve, that consciousness, that lens through which we interact with everything also evolves. It softens, it expands, it recontextualizes. And that's a beautiful thing. Because when we're with somebody who is a more mature traveler, who's comfortable in their own skin and is easy to talk with and has life experience, they become a wonderful companion along the way, someone to mirror, someone to chat with. And they could still have a lot of ego running. However, their ego knows how to step aside. Now, step aside is the magic phrase. When we have spiritual experiences, I'm talking about the profound spiritual experiences, those are moments that have a couple of qualities. One quality is the ego has relaxed and stepped aside. The other quality is we are awake to a oneness, to a communion. You can have the ego step aside, but not be awake to a oneness. You can be awake to a oneness and the ego can jump in and make up all kinds of stories about it. And so it's an interesting thing that we learn along the way. How do we relax the ego and be available to spirit? And how do we integrate that experience into our ordinary consciousness so that that consciousness becomes ever more like the expanded consciousness.
And that we can trust ourselves, because I suspect a lot of you listening are going, wow, you know, I have had these experiences, but then everybody around me told me I was quite crazy or I needed medication or whatever. And maybe you have the people around you who can really support you. We want to hear from you. We want to know what your experiences are, what's been going on with you. And so we're going to go ahead and jump to the phone lines, which are already full. So as soon as we speak to someone, for those of you waiting to call in, just, you know, be ready, stand by, and try to call in as soon as we say goodbye to a person that's already waiting.
Well, let's jump to the lines. We're going to start with line 4 and say hi to Karen from Oregon.
Namaste, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My awakening or experiences seem to be tied to a twin flame and, you know, learning about that. And right now there's this stagnant period with the twin, and I'm very discouraged with that. And then I seem to let go of wanting to progress in my own evolution, my own spiritual awakening. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and maybe why all of what I have is tied up with him and not willing to go forward for myself, but instead just always wanting to try to progress in behalf of somebody else?
Well, first of all, Karen, I feel how beautiful you are. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I also am just smiling because you're asking a question that a lot of people listening are asking. And so thank you for being really a surrogate for so many others that are asking this question right now. You know, one of the gifts in our divine spiritual awakening is to relax into the recognition that the first sacred union of our journey is the sacred union with our soul, our divine soul. And often when we have our experience of our awakening and our intensity and the energy of that wrapped into a partnership situation, especially with a twin flame type situation, it's often because we have not fully really allowed or ignited, is the word that your guides are wanting me to share with you, ignited the union with our divine soul. And so one of the things that we would encourage you to do is to spend a little more time with you and your soul. And, you know, there's a wonderful way to do this, and a lot of people already are aware of this, and it's to actually gaze at your eyes in the mirror. You don't need to gaze at your face. You know, just sit in a chair, have a little mirror, and gaze at your eyes and allow your eyes to bring forward the energy of your soul. Command that light. We actually have a practice called the breath of light where we actually call up our soul. You have the power to command that. And the minute you start commanding the soul and having a true dance of union with the soul, what you'll discover is that there's a restored richness in your unionship with the soul that becomes an extraordinary, I'm going to use the word attraction field in everything you do, including the ability to enhance the way that the dance or the Leela with the sacred partner comes forward. So very much for you, it's about more time spent on you and more time really diving into the sacred union with your soul. Your soul has so much to share, and it's time to allow that to be a one. You know, Archangel Zadkiel always says the one plus the one will always be one because it's our sacred union with the soul that leads the way. And so I'm really grateful you brought this up today. Namaste.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, many blessings indeed. You know, it's important to recognize that we're always in sacred partnership.
Indeed. Indeed. And this is, you know, this is Sri. This is such, I'm so grateful that she asked that question because so often we, you know, when we're talking about spiritual experience, peak spiritual experiences are often those that happen when we are in such extraordinary communion with the soul energy that there is no me, quote unquote. You know, I mean, there's no physical presence left, and the soul is guiding us into the realms of divine experience that the mind could never comprehend because the mind is of this world, my angels. We don't need this goopy brain outside of this dimension.
Absolutely. You know, it's... There's many different types of spiritual experience, and I'll share a little one that is very common, I think, for deep meditators. Mm-hmm. For myself, I was in with a meditation group some years ago, and it was a workshop that had a start and an end time, and we were doing a group meditation, and I had that wonderful thing that happened where I lost myself. I completely dissolved, and yet I was aware of everything, literally quite everything. And the workshop was coming to an end, I think, I'm not sure, but the leader was calling my name to call me back. I heard my name being called, but I didn't know it was me. And that's the piece I wanted to share with you. I didn't know that name meant me because I had dissolved my identity with that smaller me, that individuated me. And then after a moment or two, I recognized, no, he wanted to know what he wanted to communicate with me. And he asked me, what are you experiencing? And I said, nothing and everything. Because those were the only words that could describe having dissolved into the oneness. There's nothing and everything. No, I share that with you because for me, that was a pivotal moment. This was a very profound moment. And when I completed that meditation, my life had changed forever because I had viscerally connected with a depth that prior to that time, I had not been cognizant of. You know, it was a concept rather than a reality. And I think that's the piece I want to leave you with.
But I want to ask you a question, Sri.
Yeah.
Because that was early on in your development. And what's more important here is what happened after that? Isn't that really what it's about? What happens after these experiences when we try to go back and have our, quote, normal lives? What changes? How do we go forward?
Well, it's a beautiful question. And I think many people do this in steps. For me, as I went back into my normal life, I did seemingly put the toothpaste back in the tube for a while. And
that can be painful.
And I functioned in my normal role, but I was dissatisfied. What I was aware of at that stage in my life was nothing was as satisfying. Nothing of my habitual activities.
See, that's the key. Nothing was, and so this is the key. And I bet some of you on the phone and some of you calling in have had this experience where afterwards you almost seem less satisfied with your life.
Yeah, it was easy to move into depression. That's not
exactly
where I went, but
no,
I touched
but
it. I touched
and a lot of people that have had peak experiences, depression, physical symptoms, the body starts acting out because your vibrational spikes, the physical body doesn't understand how to interpret.
I was tired. I went back to my job that Monday after my weekend experience, and it just...
It was hard,
It
right?
was tasteless.
Yeah.
It was tiring.
Yeah.
It was gray. And yet it was my norm. You know, it was up to that point. It was my norm. I knew how to do my work, and I liked the people I was with, and yet it seemed hollow. And so it took some time to work through that kind of that depression. And I offer this as just one example of what can happen. Each of us integrates in their own way. And the only other thing I'll say about this before we move to our next caller is that for me, I moved through that. I recognize that there's a deeper reality beyond the surface reality.
Right.
I move back into my day to day, and then some time later, I don't remember if it was 6 months or a year later, when I had an opportunity to do some more spiritual work, I realized I have to.
Yeah.
I can't just stay where I am anymore. I must continue this journey. And that was the piece. That was the pivotal moment that I had the deep recognition of the oneness. And I began at that point to consciously and actively go deeper.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. And you know, Sri, let's invite in another beautiful caller. We have so many people waiting.
Okay, well, we're going to head to line two, and we'll say hi to Ramona from New Mexico.
Namaste, Ramona.
Hi, Sri and Kira.
Hi, sweetheart.
So much love. Hey.
And feel it back.
What's that?
I said feel our love right back to you, Angel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So a year ago today, I was with you guys in Guatemala, and it was a really beautiful, powerful experience being out there. And at that time, you guys were talking about some powerful energies that would be coming in around March, and the twinning energies. And in March, I found out that I was pregnant. And so
I've
been on that journey ever since, and it's a year later, and I have my beautiful baby girl in my arms right now.
Congratulations.
Ramona, oh my God.
Peak spiritual experience. I just wanted to call and say hi and send love from little baby Zena and me. And I wanted to get a mini soul reading from you.
Well, first I have to get the tears out of my eyes because I'm just so happy for you. And my heart is just so big around you. And I'm also smiling because indeed, twinning, this incredible child. Oh my gosh, Ramona, this child is, I'm sure you do. Oh my gosh. She is your other half. She is the piece of you that you have always looked for. And she chose this lifetime so that together the two of you could create in about, they're telling me 12 years from now. So when she's closer to 12, 13 years old, she's already going to be stepping into a role that the two of you will be doing together. And this is beyond what you're already doing right now. The other thing they're saying is that it's extremely important for you to constantly surround her with stories of the light, because she's actually giving them to you. In other words, as you're sitting with her and you're quote unquote making up a story about playing in the light or a child of the light or what it would be like to be out dancing in the universe, she's actually giving you these stories for you to bring to written form. And so I would encourage you to share these stories with her and maybe have a recorder when you're saying them out loud, when you're having these story time sessions, because these are going to be very, very powerful. And a lot of what's going to come through you is not a story. She's literally coming in and teaching through this method right now. And today you called in to really have that information from her transferred to you right now so that that can continue. And I am just humbled and honored and bowing at your feet and her feet and just so happy to connect with you. And I am so grateful you called in. Thank you, my angel.
Thank you so much. It's absolutely perfect. I had no idea I would be in this situation a year ago. And I was a little bit confused by it, but that's so beautiful to hear. And I'm so grateful to you guys. Much love.
We love you. Love. Please, please send us a picture. Oh, my God.
Trust your life.
I will.
Unfolding. Namaste,
thank
dear.
Thank you. Namaste. You know, I love that this just came in because the reality is that having a child is a spiritual experience.
Absolutely.
You know, this is just such a, I mean, and you know, we're blessed that we actually know Ramona. As she mentioned, we've actually known Ramona since she was 16 years old. We've known her a very long time. And we've kind of watched her grow up and to see her in this moment now. So often having our children and bringing these children in is a peak experience, a spiritual experience that keeps us moving forward. So I love all these beautiful aspects of these experiences that's coming forward today.
And certainly, as I think everyone here can attest to, when we have an intimate relationship, it calls forth from us all kinds of things, from wisdom to ego to bringing us to our knees to bringing us into ecstasy. And that doesn't matter whether this relationship is a sacred partner, meaning, you know, a male or female other half, or a child. Mm-hmm. It's still a sacred relationship that is intimate in the most profound of ways.
You know, and this is the key, is to remember that, and I can't stress this enough, my angels, that as we give ourselves the gift, and it's a gift, as we give ourselves the gift of accepting our divine nature, of letting go of doubt, the universe restores us with ever more experiences. And, you know, sometimes we might think, oh, well, you know, that was just serendipity or that was just coincidence. All of it is powerful. And, you know, we want to really kind of talk a little bit more about what's been going on since India. You know, we promised to reveal for the first time what happened in India with us. And really, I think we first need to go back and just preface it by saying, when we put this incredible journey together, it was because we were on a mission. You know, we were really on a mission to go connect with the blue star-born heritage of the planet. And we had been given guidance over the years. Sri and I had been to India with a group before. And one of the things that happened when we were in India with the group before was that we had felt incomplete because we never got to Dwarka. And I remember talking to the woman who had organized that arrangement, and I kept saying to her, we have to get Dwarka. And she's like, oh, no, you can't get Dwarka. It's too hard to get there. Nobody goes there. There's no hotels. There's no nothing. It's too hard. And we let it go because we knew there would be a time. And not only did this time come forward in October, and we look at the timing, especially in light of all the events that have happened on our planet in November, but the people that were there formed a surrogate spiritual family for all crystalline light beings in the world. We felt the pulse beat of the world. We felt the heartbeat of the world. We moved as one energy. The entire group of 22 was literally one family without the Thanksgiving dinner controversies, you know?
Hey, yeah.
It was truly one supportive family journeying together in a way that each of us, everyone was getting their needs met. Everyone was having their service given to them, and everyone played their roles, and everyone would step up at any moment to do whatever was needed. It was a seamless, effortless, beautiful blessing. And as we mentioned earlier, it culminated. We went to places that honestly just people don't go. And we had more than one person keep telling us, why are you going there? Nobody's going there. And after a while, after the first few days, we all started giggling that what we were doing was we were on what we were calling the trip of miracles, because it was literally miracle after miracle after miracle kept opening up on this journey. And I want to just take a moment and share with everyone listening right now, whether you're live with us right now in the archives, it doesn't matter. When you allow yourself to remember that miracles are real and you have the ability to manifest them, there is not anything you cannot do. There truly, you can do it all.
And we shared some of this in earlier shows. I just, by way of kind of getting you in the flow of our current topic and sharing, one of the things that happened more than once was, as a group of sacred travelers, sacred family, we went to the Shiva temples, and we were allowed privileges that are not granted to out-of-country folks.
And these were some of the miracles.
This was indeed miracles.
I mean, mega miracles, guys.
That we had a most intimate, and I'm not talking about tourist visual kind of experiences.
No.
I'm talking about an opportunity to be in the inner sanctum of the Holy of Holies, to be in those places that are quite sacred, quite guarded, and really quite pure.
And what's so beautiful is that what would happen is, like, I think about the Joyter Linka and Trimbakshwar, was we were there, we went through, we had our ability to be there, but our group spontaneously, these were not arranged events, we spontaneously all sat in a quiet corner, and we were very, very unobtrusive, tried to kind of just blend in. And together we were all just meditating and respecting the space. And after a few minutes, the priest from the inner sanctum came out and grabbed Sri Ranka, stopped the flood, the line of pilgrims that were there, and brought my beloved Sri Ranka to the Joyter Linga, right to the actual Joyter Linga, to sprinkle holy water on him, to have him be connected, to offer him prasad from this. And this never happens. As a matter of fact, the beautiful man who was with us as our guide was in tears, because he said this does not, it never happens to a quote unquote local Hindu, much less the fact that they went and sought out Sri and brought him in on behalf of our group. And this was just the first of many of these profound miracles that were driving us toward the culmination in Bet Dwarka.
And that's the, you know, as we share these words and give you these word pictures of what happened, that's the outer miracle, meaning events conspiring to have this intimate communion. The inner miracle for me is that the moment the holy water touched my head, I felt it was as if liquid light had been poured through me. I felt a burst of Shakti, my spine, my body, everything illuminated, and I realized this wasn't just water. It wasn't the water that made it happen. It was all the events conspiring, from the high-frequency water to the serendipity of the moment to my sincere humility in the moment to say, okay, something amazing is here, and I let it be. And in that moment, I felt a recognition of what is called the Shiva energy. I felt an intimate recognition with a divine being that is beyond this world. I can't give you words for this other than to say it deepened my process in an exponential way. And for me to offer you that is, I normally don't share my inner experiences because I believe at some point that sharing those is not in service to myself or others, because they become concepts, they become words at that point rather than realities. However, it's important to offer some touchstones, some guidance. And what I learned through this is that when you are ready, miracles happen. And if miracles aren't happening, then we need to ask ourselves, what in me is resisting the expansion?
And when we invite ourselves to be in the company of miracle makers and to hold sacred presence and sacred beauty for each other, the miracles start expanding. And, you know, as our journey continued and we wound up over in Somnath is a Jyotirlinga normally even closed to non-Hindus. They won't even let you in. And sure enough, at the gate, we were met by guards and stern looks, and they pulled us all to the side and were looking at copies of everybody's passport. They pretty much strip searched us and then called in Sri and said to Sri, well, we're going to have to do interviews with everybody and decide if we were going to let you through the door. Once again, by the time they were done speaking with Sri, we were being personally escorted in by one of these stern guards and again had magic happen in the temple. I mean, incredible magic, to the point where we wound up spending so much time there because we were taken into remote areas that are not normally viewed by the public. And again, we could go on and on and on with you. However, the point is that miracles were building.
Process is really part of why we're sharing this. You know, the experience that we described at this first Jyotirlinga, the Trimbakeshwar temple, to me, what I felt happening when we got to the next temple where we were initially met with resistance was I knew beyond concept, oh, no, we're part of this temple. We're part of the blue star-born Shiva lineage. There's no question about our right or deservedness. In fact, there's no argument. There's just, oh, hi, I just need to say hi to these folks and they're going to let us in.
Exactly. And they did. And once again, we were having powerful communions, priests calling us over and offering us things and just, you know, so much more. So we share all this with you because as we were going through all this, we were already in a divine essence of integration. You know, everyone's bodies was starting to feel different. We were noticing the way that things were opening or clearing. And simultaneously, when you're in that much pure energy and when you're carrying that much pure energy, density can get a lot harder to navigate. And we were noticing that literally alongside the miracles, we were starting to have a lot of things that we had to, let's just say, renegotiate as far as the linear world.
Linear world meaning things like the hotel rooms or the meals or things like that that were prepared by those who weren't participating in the depth of spiritual communion that our group was. The other thing I want to offer here before we continue with the sharing is that we experienced miracles as a group, and that as a group, it's like when one person was tired, other people were carrying them energetically. There was a buoyancy in the group that could not have been achieved by any one person.
Exactly.
That support, that spiritual energetic support that kept us all floating in a beautiful way.
Incredible. And truly, this is part of it, is in your life right now, where is your energetic support? How do you integrate what you have? And this is an important piece of it because, again, when you reach these spiritual high moments, the only way you can really integrate them is to either have that sacred union with the soul and to be unshakable in your trust in the universe, or to make sure that you've called in a network of those around you that can support the journey.
Now, as we went to Bet Dwarka And went to yet another sacred temple with the 2,800-year-old statue.
2,870 years old. And this is, we need to share it with you. This is what they call the Black Krishna. It is beyond incredible. It's 2,870 years old. One of the few ancient idols that they actually have complete documented records on. So it's what they were very proud to tell me that they know exactly how old it is.
And remember that the altar, the crystal, the stone is a synergistic relationship with you and your consciousness. Sometimes people think that all the power resides in the object. And the object is sort of like when the tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? You know, so we were there with this idol being unveiled. There's a time when it's released, meaning they lift the curtain and people begin to commune and they shuffle, you know, they walk by to receive the blessing of it.
And before they do that, you know, everybody's being herded into, you know, what we would call like the main part of a temple,
viewing area,
you know, the viewing area.
Yeah.
And of course, once again, we were all shuttled into the back. We again, this was another one of those journeys where it started out, we were with a gentleman, actually a temple priest, who was walking us around, but very much treating us like outsiders, like foreigners. And so he brought us in after showing us a few other things and brought us into this area, this main viewing area, which quite frankly, all of us are kind of standing there in the back wondering what we're waiting for.
Now, the experience unfolded in a couple of ways, and it, this involves my beloved Kira Ra, that in this, what I observed from the outside was that she began to release herself to a divine communion with Krishna and with other energies. And as she did that, her arms were spontaneously lifted up in the air. She began to radiate great energy. And she was communing with the statue after the curtains had opened. And she began to say, take this energy if you want it. Feel the, you know, receive the blessing. Because what was flowing through her was amazing, pure healing energy.
And, you know, it's hard for us to talk about it. As I've been sharing with so many people, honestly, it's the reason that Sri needs to talk about this is my last memories were right before they opened up the curtains, right in front of us. We were very blessed that because we were in the back of the temple, there must have been, I don't know, maybe 40 to 50 young Hindu priests, adorable, probably late teens, early 20s, chanting. And they were just chanting and sitting on the floor, all in meditation posture, chanting and chanting. And I remember being really drawn into them and actually had heard Close Your Eyes. And I did. And then when I opened my eyes, it was only because I realized people were reacting, responding to the fact that the curtains had opened. And from the moment my eyes caught sight, and bear in mind, we were all the way in the back, I could only see maybe the top third. But from the moment my eyes caught sight, I just remember feeling, noticing, and seeing what looked to me to be two rays of light emanate out and come right into me. And then I have no conscious memory for about an hour. And, you know, we're very blessed right now. We actually have some people that were in India with us. And I think, you know, along with Sri, it might be good to hear from some of them. So let's welcome, let's see, line one. We have Sue from Maine. Sue, are you there?
Namaste. I'm here. How are you?
Well, we are just so glad you're here. And thank you for joining us today. And of course, for joining us all through India. And Sri is, and you are here to help us talk about
what
happened.
As we want to be able to offer others the gift of connecting with profound spiritual experiences and understanding them, why don't you share a little bit about what you felt and what you observed while we were at, Kira was in that communion?
Oh my gosh. Geez. It was such a profound experience. It was almost a blur because the energy just kept building and building. And as Kira was lifting and lifting, it's like you could feel, you know, that some miracles were happening. And then as the energy that was just pouring out of her, she was like touching the top of our heads and her fingertips touching our hands, and the energy coming through was so pure and so profound, getting tears in my eyes just thinking about it, because I'm still integrating it on so many levels. And she was physically not there anymore. And it was just this pure, beautiful light of Kira coming through her. And oh my God. And it just kept going and kept building. And when you mentioned earlier about the priest that kind of brought us in and stuff, well, I witnessed him and many others change because they witnessed the miracles that were happening also.
Yeah.
And so I know it forever changed them as it has forever changed me. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to be there with you and our beautiful group, because it was just like the true oneness of the one heart, the one mind, the one being. It was just such a gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your sharing. Thank you, Sue. And for our listeners, you know what Sue mentioned, that Kira's fingertips were radiating energy, and she was offering this freely to anybody who wanted to touch and connect. And I remember many people holding her hands, and she touched their head. And I know when she did touch my head, I felt this electric energy coming through, and it was like timelessness. There was a moment of restoration and timelessness. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to experience that consciously.
Yeah, it really is. And Sue, thank you so much for sharing. We really appreciate it. And, you know, one of the things I can share with all of the listeners is, as I mentioned to you, once this started happening, I don't really have much conscious memory. I do know that they had to walk me around. And at one point we had been in the main Krishna altar, and then there was a side altar for Radha, which is, you know, the beloved, the divine beloved of Krishna. And I do remember when I walked in there, it was interesting. It was like I heard a voice that said, "We want you to see this." And I came, it was like I was watching myself, but it was as if, it's like I was floating over myself, watching myself. And I remember I was being walked up because I was incapable of walking. And I remember being walked up toward the Radha altar and in such a state of reverence and presence and illumination. And there was a priest there who just started clanging a lamp and saying, "Money, money, money, give me money, give me money, give me money." And honestly, what I remember is feeling like Jesus in the temple. It was like I felt this world, like a tornado of energy. And I saw myself just smashing and throwing his money plate down and screaming, "It's not about money." And I did not do that, but it was so profound. It was such a powerful moment for me to recognize what was happening. And then I was gone again. I don't remember anything until I was outside the temple and my shoes were being put on.
Well, yeah, let me just add in before we take our next caller is I was there walking with Kira, and I felt her wanting to interact with this priest, because wherever there's energy, there are those trying to profit by the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over to sit in this alcove where Kira completely collapsed. She was completely just gone and couldn't stand. She was laying there. Her hands and feet were radiating. And at that point, it went even deeper, meaning the energy coming out of her hands and feet was visibly, tangibly radiating. Why don't we go to line 3 and talk to Alice from Terra Nostra, who is on the trip with us.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're just delighted you're here with us. And so we're navigating Dwarka again, and thank you for navigating it with us again. And let's see, Sri's got us to the point where we're kind of in the side alcove, and we're just kind of inviting you to share your recollections and what you were noticing and experiencing in your own spiritual experience in that moment.
The energies radiating from you and around you were just so powerful. I also noticed some concern from the group, and everybody was able to let that go and stand in a powerful union presence of support. And it was just such a beautiful thing to experience and see. I also noticed that some of the locals would come and walk past, and the priest, one of the priests who had been with us off and on, he was blown away. I don't think he had ever seen someone non-Indian going through or being a spiritual oracle and flowing that kind of energy. For me, I am so deeply touched by all that has come forward through that experience.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, for our listeners, what I want to offer is at this second moment when the channel of divine energy was flowing so greatly, and by the way, the temperature was quite hot there, Kira was really unable to walk. There was just this channel of sainted energy coming through her that was blessing all of us. And we realized at a point that we needed to move. We had, you know, it had been a long time and there was an actual risk that Kira would not regain her ordinary consciousness, that we would lose her. And so we began to invite her, can you come back to us? And as a group, we were able to call her back. But here's the piece that I wanted to share for our listeners. In order to walk from the temple back to the boat, because remember, we were on an island. It's an island place. We created a cocoon of our group with Kira. I was holding Kira up, helping her be stable.
And you know, this was 22 people in the midst of Indian, you know, craziness. You
craziness
know,
there's
always,
cows
and vendors and tuk-tuks and you name it. I mean, camels, the works.
And so this group of 22 persons moved as one body, navigating the steps and the pathways and the alleys to get to the boat dock. And it was an amazing thing. It was as if we parted the waters. And as a spiritual community, we were able to walk in unison, both inspired and committed by the influx of the divine love that had flowed to us and that was emanating through us. And literally, we were undisturbed by the vendors. We were undisturbed by those who would normally seek to interrupt you to make a sale. And it was a profound thing as we chatted with our community on the boat, how everyone said, I just felt we were all one. So I offer this to you as a visual of what can be and of the sacred that can come in at any moment as a surprise and a blessing.
Indeed. And, you know, I just want to share, because it's amazing how quickly these shows go, that since we have returned from India, Sri and I are still integrating this. And more visions have come in. There's times when I'm absolutely confident I'm levitating. There's times when I'm right back there and receiving more information. Yet it's always done with a sense of oneness. It's not me. It's everyone. There is this sense of there is no one. There is only the one. And we share this with you because we are still navigating this experience, and we know that there's more coming from it. We know that there is much more to be unfolded. And to remind all of you that when you have these types of peak spiritual experiences, whether you are like me and you basically are completely out of body at the temple and everything has gone white light, or whether it's a meditation where you receive a profound experience, whether it's a dream, it doesn't matter. Sometimes you can be sweeping the floor and have an incredibly profound spiritual experience. What's important is to honor and respect yourself, to trust the experience, and to pay attention to your body, your mind, and your spirit, because we integrate these at all levels. And this is the most important aspect of this entire show. Integrate your experiences so that you can continue broadening them, and healing the world.
And a big piece of this is being at peace with your own ego, your own personality self. Because remember, we're all born with an ego, because it's the ego is that shell that helps us navigate density, that helps us drive the car on the freeway, that does all the things that we do in the outer world. And when these spiritual openings happen, the ego can indeed soften and learn how to surrender to the soul, because it's these forms of surrender that will create serenity.
Indeed.
And these forms of surrender that will bring love into the world and calm the turbulence that is upon our planet. And the bottom line as for all of you is to trust your life, to trust these divine experiences, and to soften around them.
And to remember, the universe will not ever offer you an experience that you are not ready for. If you ever feel that something has happened you can't handle, it's just the mind. And so, beloved angels, feel our arms reaching out to you. Feel our love radiating around you. Feel the universe. I have, right now, I'm feeling this huge harmony in my ears. Feel this harmony. Close your eyes. Take in a breath. And I'm actually beaming to you the energy of that moment in the temple. I have my hands up. I'm beaming the energy. Breathe in, receive, and feel your own peak spiritual experience as a gift from the universe, preparing you, preparing our world, because we are in the next phase of our human experience. And together, we are lifting. This is the moment we have waited for, and you, my angel, are an integral piece of this moment. We love you. We look forward to being with you again next week. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.